Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to episode 60 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. My name is Summer, and you can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, and that is SommerYarns. And I also did just recently join Periscope. And if you don't know what that is, it is a live streaming service. And I have not done anything other than create the account and watch one scope, I guess is what people are calling them, by Mustache Yarn on Friday. I just happened to catch it when I was on a break at work. But my username there is Summer Newland, which is SommerNewland. And what I'm thinking about doing with that, I don't know if any of you remember, but about a year ago, I was debating whether or not to continue with audio or if I wanted to move to video. And obviously I have not moved to video, but I still have that desire to show you guys actually what I am working on occasionally. And I mean, you know, I don't know, maybe other things like if I'm cooking something or doing like a tasting, or if you listen a lot, you know that I go out to a local state park and I like to look at the alligators, although I don't get very good service out there, so that might not ever work. But those are some ideas I have for using it. I have the account. I haven't done anything with it, but if you want to follow me, feel free. And if you're on, I would love to follow you back. It will be really interesting to see how people start to use this. So I am sitting here with Oliver, who is my daughter Laura's cat. And he's actually stepping on the computer. Hold on just a minute. Okay. He just got off of my lap. But since Laura has been gone, I have become his proxy human. So he pretty much any time I'm sitting for longer than 15 minutes, if that, he will come cuddle with me. And he is the biggest cuddle bug of a cat I have ever seen. I've had some sweet cats, but this cat just loves to cuddle. He is such a baby. So, let's see. What did I introduced myself. I hope I'm not missing anything. Anyway, today we're going to talk about works in progress. I don't have any finished objects. I've got one that's very close. Maybe it might be considered a finished object, but I haven't measured it yet. I am going to co-op what some people call needle adjacent, because I have some things that I really, really want to cast on. A little bit of spinning, some upcoming events in the kitchen and on the nightstand. So let's get talking about some knitting. So like I said, I don't have any finished objects, but I have an almost finished object, and I'll talk about that first. It's not first on my list, but I'll talk about it first. So I mentioned in the last episode that I am doing a crochet sampler blanket, and the pattern is by Marley Bird. It is not a free pattern. I don't remember how much it costs, but it wasn't much. And it's just a 9-square crochet blanket. Each one is a different stitch. And I had finished one that I talked about in the last episode, I believe. It was one of that. I probably didn't talk about it much. It was one of the items that I finished for Stash Dash. But I did another one this past week at work during breaks and over lunch. And this one was, I don't know how to explain what the stitch was, but it was a double crochet, stitch. I mean, it was, you know, it was a stitch pattern. And I did this one in Vicky Howell Sheepish, which is a Caron yarn, C-A-R-O-N. And it's a purple color. It's the same color I had done for the last one. If you follow me on Instagram, or if I mentioned it, I don't remember if I mentioned the color. And that was a really quick knit. I'm kind of using these as palette cleansers between projects at work. It's a good way to get them done. And they turn out to be, they're probably around 10-inch square. So I'm very close to finishing that, if I'm not finished already. I haven't cut the yarn, but I brought it home from work because it looked like it was pretty close to square. I just haven't gotten around to measuring it yet. The other thing that I have been working on diligently this week is my Clue Shawl. And this is a paid pattern by Very Busy Monkey. And I'm using Madeline Tosh, Tosh Sock and Tarte, which if you watch podcasts or if you are very familiar with Mad Tosh, you know, it's a very dark red. It's such a gorgeous red. But I just finished, there are 5 charts in the pattern. It is I guess it would be considered a crescent. Let me think. Yeah, I guess it would be considered a crescent shawl. And I just finished the 2nd chart of the 5. And that will go to the side and I'll pick up something else this week. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to focus on yet. I have also been working on my Hitofude, which is a paid pattern by Hiroku Fukatsu, if you are living under a rock and haven't heard about it. I'm using Miss Babs Katahdin in the Ivy's colorway, which is a tonal green. It's really pretty. And this one I took to work when I finished the blanket square. And I can do about a row in 15 minutes. Sometimes it takes me slightly longer than 15 minutes. So I'm making a little progress with it. I don't know that I'll keep it at work because I think if it were at home, I would get more done when I decide to work on it than I do at work. As it is, I can usually get probably 3 to 4 rows done at work. I guess that's about as much as I would get done in a sitting at home. So maybe I'll keep that up there for a little while. I think I'll keep it at least until I finish the sleeves, the upper body part. And then when I have to graft the arms together or the sleeves together, then I'll certainly won't try to do that at work, but maybe I'll keep it at home after that. I think at that point it's going to start to grow a little bit and I don't know how much I could get done at work. I don't know. We'll see. And then the only other thing that I have been working on this week. I do have a finished object. I forgot. I really wanted to do something with my hand spun this week. So this is enabling. I didn't have an enabling section, so I'll just throw this in here. I got home from work on Friday, and I had gotten the Fat Squirrel bag that I had pre-ordered. If you watch her podcast, and if you are on Instagram, and it's probably been talked about on some podcasts, for SSK, she did a bag, or some bags, that were made out of fabric that had old library cards on them. And as a librarian, of course, I had to have this bag. And happily, she did pre-orders for it after SSK. And so I got mine on Friday. And of course, I had to have something in it immediately. And I had been wanting to do something with handspun. So I decided to find a project to do with some of my first handspun. I'm trying to do work with my handspun in the order that I spun it up, because I'm continuously getting better. And I'm afraid that if I don't use the old stuff, that I'll never want to use it. So I chose a skein of 2F by hand that I had spun. I think it was superwash. No, it wasn't superwash. I think it was just merino. I don't remember now. I think it was just merino in the San Miguel colorway. So it was mostly kind of pinks, kind of almost a reddish pink with some light blue and some pops of like a very dark kind of olivey green. And I decided after I'd only had about 80 yards and it was bulky, so I was pretty limited with what I could make. So I chose a beanie pattern and I made the large child size, I think, or small child size. And based on the stitch count, I thought it would fit around my head. And it does fit around my head, but I didn't take into account that because it was written for a child, it's shallower. So it doesn't actually fit me. And hopefully it's not too big for a small child. But it will go in a gift bin and will be gifted at some point. I don't know that I know anybody at the moment who could wear it. But I made that. And then I've decided that this bag is going to be my handspun bag. So I cast on another project using Handspun. And this time I decided to do The Waiting for Winter Mittens by Susan B. Anderson because, of course, you know that living in Houston, Texas, I have got to have mittens, right? Yeah, I don't think these will get much use, but I really wanted to make these. I made a friend of mine a pair of these with some handspun that I had done on my spindle about a year ago, not quite a year ago. And I really, really liked them, and I really wanted to make myself a pair out of handspun. So that's what I'm doing. And I am using some merino bamboo that I spun from Hawassee Creek Dye Works, and it is in the Glacier colorway. And this, the colorway itself was a gradient, like on in the braid, but I didn't and still don't know how to chain ply, although I did successfully chain ply a little bit, but I'm not very good at it. So this, it didn't preserve the color progression, but it is still really pretty. So I started working on those on Saturday. Was that Saturday? Yes. And was that Saturday or was it yesterday? Honestly, I don't remember. That may have been yesterday. I started it and I am actually already almost done with the first one. It's a very, very quick pattern. So if you want a quick, immediate gratification project, this is it. And that is a paid pattern, by the way. Exciting thing for me was that I posted it and tagged it on Instagram, and Susan B. Anderson liked my picture. So, yay, that made me feel very important. So those are all of my works in project in progress. And as I mentioned, I do have some needle-adjacent projects, which that means that they are projects that I intend to cast on or want to cast on really quickly. And I'm just trying to debate when to cast them on. I am going to participate in the Downseller Studio Pigskin Party this year, which I'll talk about a little bit in a few minutes. But the cast-on for that isn't until September 10th, and I'm just not sure how much I can wait for that. I'm thinking I might have to just keep with these little quick projects that I can finish up before then, and then cast on these other things on the 10th. I just don't know. But anyway, the things that I want to cast on are there's a goddess shawl, and it is by, I didn't actually write down who the designer is. It's from the Anticraft, and it is a free pattern. It's on a blog, and I want to make this for a friend of mine whose 40th birthday is coming up. I think she would really, really like this. I'm just trying to decide what yarn to use, and I think I actually have decided. I think I have some Dream and Color Smushy in a really, really pretty green that I've already made one shawl out. I think I got two skeins of it, and I have a lot even left of the first one. So I think that that's what I'm going to use for that. But not sure when I'm going to cast it on. The other thing that I want to cast on is I have a skein of Desert Vista Dye Works in the Zombodies Eating Candy Corn colorway. So I want these for my Halloween socks. I always make a pair of socks for Halloween. So that's going to get cast on very soon. I'm not sure I can wait on that one until September 10th. That's probably going to get cast on tomorrow, which is September 1st. And then the last thing that I'm really looking forward to casting on, this will get cast on before the 10th because it is, I'm not 100% sure what pattern I'm going to use, but I want to cast on something in my Fibro Fibers Nightfall Into the Woods colorway that I got at last year's Into the Woods retreat. And I want to cast that on Thursday, which is when this year's retreat starts. Since I can't go this year, this is my way of being there in spirit. And I have to tell you guys, I am so sad that I'm not going to be there. It is really kind of tearing me up. I chose to not go because it was very close to, to when we had dropped Laura off at college. And it's almost, that's only 4.5 hours away from where she's in college. It's a long, going back to that part of the country that quick was just, it just didn't seem like it would be possible. Although I was considering flying at one point. But around the time I was deciding to fly was when I found out that Stitches Texas was going to happen and chose to go to that. And I am very glad that I'm going to Stitches Texas, but I really want to be at Into the Woods. So hopefully next year I'll get to go. It will depend on when, you know, timing and stuff like that, but my goal is to go. Sorry to go off on that tangent. Let's talk about some spinning. I'm still working on the same fiber that I was working on the last time I podcast. It's Gritty Knits Rambouillet in the Goldenrod colorway, and it's like I said last week, it's like Spinning Sunshine. It is a very bright yellow with some brown. It kind of reminds me of Brown Eyed Susan's more than Goldenrod. It's very pretty. Or Sunflowers. It kind of reminds me of Sunflowers. This would be really pretty spun up with a, or applied with a green, but I don't think I have one right now. I have to look at that. But anyway, this is really pretty. I have finished one half of it and just started on the second bobbin yesterday. And I'm just taking it slow on this. I'm not in any hurry. I don't have a whole lot of fiber in my stash right now. I think I actually only have, other than some samples from the fat fiber box that I got in March, I only have, let's see. I've got this that I'm working on. I got the skein of, I can't remember who it was that I got, that I talked about last time, but it's the raspberry and cream braid that I got that I mentioned last time. I believe I mentioned it last time. And I have some merino that I bought in Gatlinburg last summer that I was having a lot of trouble spinning that I probably need to go back to now because I suspect I wouldn't have trouble anymore. But that's all I have in my stash right now. So I'm kind of taking it slow. I will obviously restock when I go to Stitches, Texas. And I also just signed up for the Three Waters Farm Fiber Club. And I'm not going to do that for too long, but for a few months, just to kind of restock my stash and just to, you know, get to try something new. So that's all my spinning. I haven't done anything on my spindle in months. I don't know that I've done any spindling at all since June when we were in North Carolina. Let's talk about events. So I've mentioned a few times that I am going to Stitches, Texas. I am still planning to do that. Well, obviously, I am going to do that. I will be there. We're driving in on Friday. We'll be there Friday night and Saturday night and driving back Sunday. And I am going with my friend Katie. And I am looking forward to, you know, seeing some of you guys and some other people that I've met that I know that will be there. So I'm really looking forward to that. Don't have any firm plans about, you know, what I'm going to do other than the market, but I'm going. So that is the only firm plan I have. I'm going. I have a room to stay in. And then I mentioned that I am participating this year in the Downseller Studio, which is a podcast by Jennifer Lassonde, who is Boston Jen. I am participating in this. It is a knit-along that coincides with the NFL, National Football League, season, which starts on September 10th and I believe ends on February 8th. It ends with the Super Bowl. And it's a very complicated knit-along, and I am not going to go into all of the details, but it sounds like a lot of fun. I'm not a huge football fan. But I do watch some college football. I generally don't watch NFL. I'll catch the Super Bowl sometimes. But you don't have to watch football to participate. So this sounded like a lot of fun. And I was kind of wishing last year that I had participated. So I am doing that. And what I am going to ask, one of the challenges for the knit along is the draft, and that is where you get people to participate. And for every person that you get to participate, you get a certain number of points, and I don't remember what they are. So if you are just now hearing about this for the first time, or if you decide that you want to participate based on my podcast, if you will let me know so that I can count you as having drafted you. So that's my request. So that is the Pigskin Party. I was looking at a calendar earlier today and saw that the Texas Book Festival is October 17th and 18th, and I'm actually going to be in Austin that weekend, almost certainly. So if anybody would like to meet up there, there's a potential. I can't promise that I'll be able to, but I thought I would throw it out there just in case, even if it's just, you know, meeting up to say hi. I am thinking about doing that. And then the last thing on my schedule, my mom, who is a free spirit on Ravelry and on Instagram, is coming to visit at the end of October. It's over Halloween weekend. It's her birthday, and also she wants to go to the International Quilt Festival, which is held every year at the George R. Brown Convention Center here in Houston, and it's a pretty big deal. And I have never been, so I am planning to go to that too. And if anybody is interested in meeting up, I will be there, my mom will be there, and I'm sure that she would agree that she would love to meet anybody. So those are the events that are on my schedule. In the kitchen, I don't have a whole lot of interesting things to talk about. I thought I would talk about peaches. So as you may remember, I have the Sally's Baking Addiction Cookbook, and I've been sort of working my way through it. And the next recipe that I was going to try was a peach pie. I think it was called Sweet Peach Pie or something like that. And I like to bake, but I don't bake a lot of pies. And I've only made a few pie crusts by hand, and they've been fairly successful. I've not had any true disasters up until now. And I decided to get smart and use my food processor to process the dough. And I have done this. There are other recipes that I've used where I have used the food processor to mix the dough. And I thought I would do that. And there's a step in making a pie dough where it says to mix the butter and shortening and flour until it resembles coarse meal. Well, I went past that, and I thought that maybe, I don't know what I thought. I thought maybe it would resolve itself. The thing was when I was doing it in the food processor, and the bits of some of like the butter or the shortening or whatever I was using just seemed pretty big at that point. So I thought that I hadn't processed it enough. And I guess once I got to that point, once I got past it, there was no return. I even made it worse by going ahead and adding the water to see what would happen. And I ended up with the big, nasty, gooey, doughy mess. So I decided that just wasn't going to happen. Threw out the pie dough and called it a day. I still had all of the peaches though. So a few days later, I made peach cobbler. And I made a very simple peach cobbler recipe from a book that I got recently that was called, hold on, let me see if I can pull this up really quickly while I talk. It was a Southern Living cookbook. I'm looking at my orders on Amazon. I saw it at the library, looked through it. I really liked it, and I wanted to give it a shot, but I think there was a hold on it, so I had to turn it in before I could check it out. But after looking through it, I decided I wanted to buy it anyway. So the cookbook is the Southern Living Community Cookbook, Celebrating Food, and it's not opening. Wait, let's see. Celebrating Food and Fellowship in the American South. So I'm sure all areas of the country have these, but, you know, different areas have your community cookbooks where, you know, different groups, if it's the Junior League or church groups or whatever, compile these cookbooks. And they are like the standard recipes for your region. They took the best of these and compiled them into a cookbook. And it's actually a really, really good cookbook. But I found a recipe for peach cobbler through that, and that is what I made. And it turned out really good. I have decided, though, I prefer pie to cobbler because I think it's because the pie dough is often, the pie crust is typically not sweet. I know that you can have a sweet pie crust, but typically it's not. And the buttery, like, flakiness of the pie crust counters the sweetness of the pie. Whereas the cobbler, the dough tends to be pretty sweet and the filling is pretty sweet and nothing really cuts it very well. So I am a pie person and not a cobbler person in general, I believe. Let me see, was there anything else for in the kitchen? I don't think I mentioned, but I have discovered pimento cheese. Now, growing up in the South, I ate pimento cheese when I was little. It wasn't a staple in our house or anything like that. But at some point, I quit eating it. And I don't know if I decided I didn't like it. Probably someone told me that pimentos were peppers, and I quit eating it at that point. Doesn't matter that you can't actually taste a pimento. But at some point, I quit eating it. And then many years ago, when I was in library school, we did a presentation where we all brought food in, and someone brought pimento cheese, homemade pimento cheese. And I tasted it, and I really liked it, but it hasn't really been something I wanted to try. But lately, I've been seeing it. It's been popping up in restaurants as a topping on burgers. Has anybody seen that? So you have a burger, and instead of cheese, or maybe in addition to cheese, it'll be topped with pimento cheese, and it sounded really good. So I found a recipe on the internet. It was a Paula Deen recipe, I believe, that was really, really simple, and I don't remember exactly what was in it, but it was basically just cheese and mayonnaise, sharp cheddar cheese, Monterey Jack, mayonnaise, and some of Paula Deen's house seasoning, which is just salt, pepper, and garlic powder, and honestly, that may be it. I don't remember if there was anything else in it at all, but it was super, super easy. And I did try this weekend, I tried another recipe out of the same Southern Living cookbook, and the consensus was that the Paula Deen one was better. But it's really good on crackers, and I have actually been putting it on burgers that I make at home, and it is so delicious. Yum. It is one of my new favorite things. So that is pretty much all for in the kitchen. It's been hot here, so I haven't wanted to bake. It's been busy, so I haven't been cooking as much. Or if I have been cooking, it's just been staples. I haven't been experimenting a lot. As it's starting to get a little bit cooler, and that being completely relative, it is still pretty hot. I am getting back in the kitchen a little bit, so maybe you'll hear a little bit more about that from me. On the nightstand, I don't talk a lot about my books, but I do like to at least tell you what I'm reading, because maybe what I'm reading is something that you would be interested in too. So the book I just finished is called Gonzales and Daughter Trucking Company, and it's by Maria Amparo Escandón. And this was a really good book. It's been on my to-read list for years. I don't even remember where I heard about it for the first time. I think it was probably from a book a day calendar that I had one year. And it is the story of Libertad, who is a prisoner in a women's prison in Mexico, just south of the California border. Just south of California, across the United States Mexico border. And she tells the story of how she ended up in prison by pretending that she is reading to the inmates. The inmates don't know the difference. And so she starts with The Three Musketeers and moves on to several other books and pretends that she's reading, but she's actually telling her story. Growing up, she grew up from birth in a truck. Her parents were married, and her mother died when she was an infant, and her father raised her as a trucker on the road. And it was just a really good story, really, really good storytelling skills, excuse me, and just, you really like got to know the characters. And it was funny too. There are parts of it was definitely funny. This was, it was a woman's prison, but it was kind of cushy. Or it was made to sound like it was a little cushy, like they had a beach that they had made, and it was, there was some corruption. The warden was corrupt, but in a kind of, in a funny way, because it was like she would do things to help, but there was always a favor involved for her. Or they had good things because she knew the person who bought this, and she could save them money by doing this, and it was just, there was some, not ha 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 funny, but just, you just kind of chuckle every once in a while, and just really good character development. And this is one that I would highly recommend if you ever, if you're interested. I got it from the library. And that one was in print. I am currently listening to The Translator by, I actually don't know who it's by. Let's look that up too. Wrong book. Sorry. Wrong app. I am listening to The Translator by Nina Schuller, and I'm listening to this while I spin. I've decided to listen to audiobooks while I spin, and it's actually really nice. And this one is about a woman who is a translator. She is the daughter of Europeans, but she lives in America. She married a Japanese man, and she speaks Japanese fluently. And has an accident where she loses all of her languages except Japanese. And it's really interesting. And it's a really good story too. Another one with really good character development. So I would recommend that too. And I guess that is pretty much it. Like I said, you can follow me on Ravelry or follow me on Instagram, friend me on Ravelry. You can follow me on Periscope, and I don't know when I'll get the nerve up to actually make a video, but at some point that will happen, I suspect. And I, about Instagram, I have gotten a lot of followers lately who have their profile set to private, but they don't have anything in their bio. And I just wanted to let people know that if that's the case, if you don't have a bio, I'm not going to friend you back, even if it looks like you probably have similar interests. I've kind of been burned. Actually, really recently, I followed someone, and then, you know, I just went ahead, you know, based on the profile even, it seemed like, you know, they were probably someone I would want to follow. And then they accepted my request, and everything they posted was about body wraps and selling this and selling that. And I'm not gonna follow you. If it's, those just seem like a scam to me. I mean, those accounts seem like a scam to me. I also just wanted to say that if your account, if it is purely a business account, like if it's only, if all you're posting is pictures of the things that you're selling on Etsy or eBay or wherever, and there's never any type of, you know, your personal photos or what you're knitting or, you know, your day-to-day life, then I'm not going to follow you either, because that's not what I'm interested in Instagram. I'm interested in forming connections and seeing what people are doing and making friendships and that type of thing. And I feel like unless it is a business that I have already established, you know, I'm an established customer, or it's something that I'm really interested in and I seek it out. In general, I'm not going to follow just a purely business account. I will usually look through them and see, okay, is there any, you know, any pictures of your cat or your knitting or anything like that before I choose. And if they are all staged pictures of products, then generally I'm not going to follow back. I am not trying to be rude and I'm not trying to be unfriendly, but there are a lot of people I know who have followed me and I'm not following them back. And I just wanted to give, in case they are listening, I wanted to give an explanation about why I'm not trying to be snobby or anything like that. And if you do have a private account and you want me to follow me, feel free to message me on Ravelry and let me know, hey, you know, I'm this person on Instagram and I'm following you. And, you know, that's different. make a connection. Okay, so that's it. I will talk to you again next week, I hope. And I hope everyone has a really great week. Bye.